here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Mounts presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. And now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts.
Hello and a beautiful Sunday morning to you. This is the day the Bible said the Lord hath made, and we can rejoice and we can be glad therein. My David spoke those words so many, many years ago to the coming of the King, because you see, he looked forward to the coming of Christ. We look now in the present, which Christ has come, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. This is the month that we will be celebrating our Lord's birthday. This is the first day of Advent, and so today we certainly appreciate you letting us come in your home. Enjoy the next 30 minutes with us as we magnify and worship the Lord. Now today we're going to be doing something very different. We want to send the whole entire broadcast out to Samuel Peters III, who passed from this life in the past week, Jana Peters' father, and also Mrs. Peters from up in Ronsford, and then also all the family. We appreciate them. And this was a great man. You know, a lot of folks say, well, ain't no good men. Well, excuse me for using the word ain't, but the Bible doesn't say there isn't any good men. The Bible said the steps of a good man is ordered by the Lord. So today we're going to be honoring Samuel's life in this broadcast. And we're going to be starting by doing one of his favorite songs. We don't have this on tape, but we're going to go right now and listen as the Happy Goodness does a beautiful song for us, his favorite song, I Have a Mansion Just Over the Hilltop.
I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little will shine. I want a gold one, that silver line. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never go.
Christmas brings on a very special time, a time of joy and a time of happiness. But then again, we realize that it also brings a time of sadness. A lot of your loved ones have passed on, and this December, when you're celebrating Christmas, I know that you'll miss them. So what we're going to do this month, we're going to make this Remembering Our Loved Ones Month. And we'd like for you to sit down, just drop us a card, place their name on there if you'd like for us to do a song in their memory. And this month, we're going to be reading the names and remembering your loved ones and sending out a song in their memory. If you have an anniversary or a birthday or something like that and you want a song did this month, just sit down and write to me, and we'd be more than glad this month to get it on for you in memory of someone who has passed on. So as we get back into broadcast, today we're going to be doing some songs about heaven, and in just a little bit I'm going to be talking from Deuteronomy 29:29 about the secret things that belong to the Lord. So let's go right back to another song, and I'll be back in just a moment with another dedication.
I'm growing tired and feeling oh so weary. I can't climb the hillsides like I used to do. I'm sure you'll understand I must go on. I'll just go on home and wait for you there. I'll just go on home and wait for you there. I'll just go on home and wait for you there. I will look for you near supper time. It's feast now prepared. I'll just go on home and wait for you there. It's always hard to say goodbye to a loved one. Oh, how sweet to know when our time comes to leave. There's a blessed thought for each child of God that takes destiny away as we turn to friends and hear the loved ones say. I'll just go on home and wait for you there. I'll just go on home and wait for you there. I will look for you near supper time. It's feast now prepared. I'll just go on home and wait for you there. I'll just go on home and wait for you there. I'll just go on home and wait for you there. For you near supper time, it's being now prepared. I'll just go on home and wait for you there. I'll just go on home and wait for you there.
Well, as usual, we usually try to bring you something different. We love to do recitations. If you've heard my broadcast many times, you don't hear it too many times without hearing a recitation. And we ran into one on the flag, the old ragged flag, which was written by Johnny Cash. And I decided, well, I'll just put it with a little background music and we'll do it for you. So we're going to be doing that song in just a few moments. But again, we do appreciate you. We appreciate you hearing our broadcast, tuning our way. I ran into Ruth the other day and Bill Thomas, and we want to remember them today in the broadcast. Good to hear that they were doing real well. I'll tell you, a lot of our old friends, and I was thinking about my good friend Clyde Murphy. Clyde, you need to send me another tape in our moving. You see, we moved from Linside here to our home here in Hinton, and Clyde in moving, I've misplaced that tape. If you have another one, will you please send it to me? I'd love to get that song on, If God Is Dead, but I don't have it. But Clyde, Juanita, we're thinking about you in the broadcast today. So let's go right back, and then I'll be right back in just a moment with today's message. I walked through a country courthouse square. On an old park bench, an old man was sitting there. I said, your courthouse is kind of run down. He said, oh, it'll do for our little town. I said, your flagpole is leaning just a little bit, and that old ragged flag you have hanging on it. He said, have a seat. So I sat down. Is this the first time you've been to our little town? I said, it is. Well, he said, I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag. You see, we got a hole in that old flag there when Washington took it across the Delaware. It got powder burns the night Francis Scott Key sat watching it and writing, oh, say, can you see? It got a bad rip in New Orleans with a pack and hammer and Jackson tugging at its seams. She almost fell at the Alamo beside the Texas flag, but she wasn't going to fall. She got cut right bad with a sword at Chancellor's Field, and she got hit hard at Shiloh Hill. It was Robert E. Lee, Bogart, and Bragg, and the south wind blew hard on that ragged old flag. On Flanders Hill in World War I, she got a big hole from a Bertha gun. She turned blood red in World War II, but she hung limp and proud by the time it was through. She was in Korea. She was in Vietnam. She went wherever Uncle Sam would send. All America, brown, yellow, and white, has shed red blood for the stars and the stripes. In her own good land, she's been abused. She's been burnt, dishonored, denied, and refused. And our government, for which she stands, has been scandalized throughout the lands. She's getting threadbare, and she's wearing thin. Oh, but she's in good shape for the shape she's in. For she's been through the fire before, and I believe she can take a whole lot more. So we raise her up every morning. We take her down every night. We don't let her touch the ground, and we fold her up just right. On second thought, I do like to brag, 'cause I'm mighty proud of that ragged old flag. Today being the first day of Advent, we want to do a very familiar passage of Scripture, and it's found in Deuteronomy 29 and 29. The Bible said, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all of the words of this law. Supposing that we did know all that God knew, supposing that we was knowledgeable enough to know all of the things that God knows. But you see, there are some things that God has chosen not to reveal to us. God's got a reason for that. We sing the song sometime, we'll understand it better by and by. I'll ask the question, he'll tell me why when we meet together in the by and by. You see, God doesn't let us know everything that happens because our human mind, our infinite minds could not fully understand the nature of God, neither could we understand his universe. Because you see, in Ecclesiastes 3 and 11, he said this, he has made everything beautiful in his time. He has also set eternity in the heart of men and in the hearts of women. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from the beginning to the very end. You see, some things are unnecessary for us to know until we're more matured, and we will understand it better by and by. God is infinite in all of His knowing, and we do not have the capacity to know everything that He does. And you know, sometime maybe it would be better that we don't. Because if we knew the future, I mean right now, if we could look into the future and knew exactly what it held, I don't believe my own self that I really want to know. Oh, I know who holds the future because I know who holds my hand. But again, I don't know what is on tomorrow. The Bible said, what is your life? It's like a vapor. It appeareth for a moment and then it's gone. I sat at the bedside of Brother Peters last week, and I'll tell you, it was fascinating to be there with this man, even though in his time of sickness, even in the time when he was changing worlds. In the funeral, we made the statement that he had finished his course and he fought the good fight. And while we were talking with him, I don't think he really understood because he's had this sickness for many years. But he was so jolly and so happy, and he would laugh and he would smile at just about everything. And you see, I think that God was bringing him down to the very last moments of his journey. Because you see, there is a journey in life that we all must face. There is a time. There's a need in every life. There's heartbreaks. There's moments of joy. There's moments of tears. But then again, the secret things belong to God. And you know, sometimes it's good that God keeps secrets from us. Because if we did know these things ahead of time, I just don't know what we'd really do. But you see, in this Advent season, time when we're getting ready to go into the Christmas season, there are some things that God has revealed to us. And that is, He has revealed His love. For God so loved the world, the Bible said, that He gave His only begotten Son. He could have stepped out of heaven as a grown person. He could have stepped into this universe just exactly like you and I. But no, He chose to come as a little baby, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. It was a way that God was going to show us just exactly how much He loved us. He became bone of my bone, David said, and flesh of my flesh. He breathed. He felt tiredness. He grew hungry. And the attributes that He had are the same attributes that you and I must face. The Bible teaches that no man ever suffered like Jesus Christ. He was not suffering for Himself. He was suffering for you. He loved you just that much. He was willing to die the death that you should have died. He was willing to die a death that you might live and that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And you see, that love has been revealed to us. God has not kept that a secret from us because He has chose to reveal God's great love to us. And America has been blessed. We see the signs upon every church, signs upon the churches now. And the sign says, God bless America. But God has blessed America. I did the recitation just a moment ago, called the old ragged flag. And true enough, God has blessed America. We've went through a lot. We've seen a lot. I know that death has invaded our ranks, but yet we still stand victoriously because God is the God of the nation. The Bible says that God blesses the nations that bless Him. But the nation that forgets God will be cast into everlasting hell and punishment. But today we have His revealed love. We also have His revealed mercy. Mercy has been extended. You and I have seen His mercy. He's had mercy upon us. If I could have anything that I desired in life, I would desire that God give me mercy. Because you see, it was grace that brought me this far. But it was God's mercy that brought the grace to the place where it was at, that I might be able to accept Christ, not on my terms, but on His terms, that grace might be shed abroad in the hearts of men. No wonder that it brings a tear to the eye and a laughter to the face when we sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved the wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. That's God's mercy, sir. Everything you have today is based upon God's mercy. In the day of Noah, he had mercy upon that nation. He looked down. He saw the wickedness of the city, and he repented that he ever made man. And yet he prepared an ark for the saving of Noah and his family. That was mercy, sir, when he went to Sodom and Gomorrah and bargained with the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah there at Abraham's tent. It was mercy, sir. He wanted to show, not judgment. But you see, we have chosen judgment. And when we choose judgment, God has no choice in the matter. But his mercy is extended forever. And that mercy has been revealed to us. Then also he reveals his grace. Grace, grace, God's marvelous grace. Grace, the writer said, that is greater than all my sin. Oh, majesty, majesty, we sing so many times in our congregation. Worship the majesty. And you know, I believe that his majestic power still reigns across America. I think that his majestic power still reigns across the United States. The grace that is so great and much, much greater than all of my sin. One writer wrote the song, Marvelous Grace. Any way you say it, sir, it's grace. Grace that is greater than all my sin. And this has been revealed to me. Has been revealed that God's grace is so sufficient in the time of living. I have accepted his grace in my time of living. I have accepted his grace in my time of marriage. I have accepted his grace in my time of pastoring. Because it was grace that Paul said was so sufficient. And, sir, it will be a sufficient grace when we're coming down to the point of death. Yes, he could put a smile where there's tears. He could put joy where there's sadness. Because, you see, it's by the grace of God. Paul said, I pray three times for God to remove the thorn in my flesh. But God said, my grace is sufficient. It will be sufficient in the time of salvation. It will be sufficient in the time of my living. It will be sufficient in the time of my dying. It will be a sufficient grace because grace is sufficient. No wonder that Deuteronomy said the secret things belong to the Lord our God. And today they do. But the revealed things belong to us. And sir, those revealed things are, as I have already spoken, the revealed thing is God's great love. In this Christmas season, we will be seeing the lights, hearing the bells, having Christmas plays, having cantatas. Many things will be ringing out the joyful sound that Jesus Christ has come into a world to seek and to save that which was lost. And his mercy will be extended across America, even though that we have seen the disaster that we've seen. And then it will be God's grace, because it was by grace that we were saved.
I'll meet you on the other side of Jordan. With friends and loved ones we will ever be. I'll meet you on the other side of Jordan. And there will spend all eternity. I know I've never met the man who gave his life for me. In his presence daily I can feel. But if by chance you're taken home before it comes the time, please take this message home to him for me. I'll meet you on the other side of Jordan. With friends and loved ones we will ever be. I'll meet you on the other side of Jordan. And there will spend all eternity. Although our names are different, we're all purchased by his blood. Through Jesus Christ we're one big family. So at that big homecoming when God's children gather there, please search the banquet table there for me. I'll meet you on the other side of Jordan.
one we will ever be. I'll meet you on the other side of Jordan, and there will spend all eternity.
I saw an old man standing by a casket draped in black. For 50 years it's been just you and me. And as the preacher spoke these words, to dust we shall return. I hear that old man speak so tenderly.
I'll meet you on the other side of Georgia, with friends and loved ones we will ever be. I'll meet you on the other side of Georgia, and there we'll spend all eternity. And there we'll spend all eternity.
Well, I trust today you have enjoyed the broadcast as much as we've enjoyed coming right back in your homes again by the means of radio on this Christmas season, the first day of Advent. I trust today that everything's well at your place. Can you imagine here this year is just about gone? And, well, we ask the question, where has it gone? Well, I feel like that God's used this broadcast in many ways, and we'll never know exactly what we've seen, but we do trust that we've been a blessing to you. Father, we pray that you bless this broadcast. Use it for thy glory. Save a soul, God. Touch that one that's sick and afflicted. Be their great physician. Most of all, we thank you for America. We thank you for how you stood for us and how you stood with us. And together we stand, as divided that we fall. So bless it. Bless our unseen audience. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, neighbor, be with me today in worship service at James at 9 o'clock, at Painter's at 11 o'clock, and we'll be having plays. I'll be telling you more about them just a little bit later on. Appreciate Dana Olson and the website ministry, stbi.org. His brother from Arizona sent me a letter and said we had many visitors there, and people are visiting and hearing the message that we're preaching to you and the songs. And we're so glad about that. Who ever dreamed that God would use the ministry like he has? So we appreciate Dana Olson, his brother Darrell Olson, way out in Arizona, and taking an interest in our ministry. If God be for us, there is no power that can stand against us. Well, goodbye, be good, and may God bless you and yours. That is my humble prayer.